Well, a very interesting report came out recently that just crossed my desk about, and it makes the argument or economic case for rapidly decarbonizing the economy through a public investment-led approach. To get a sense of kind of what is backing this, we welcome our next guest, J.W. Mason. He is a fellow with the Roosevelt Institute, also an assistant professor of economics at John Jay. J.W., thank you so much for joining us. Give us a sense, just a real key takeaways from your perspective of this report.
Well, the key takeaway is that we're looking at an enormous amount of public spending associated with rapidly decarbonizing the U.S. economy, which is really what climate science tells us what we need to do. And I think some people have a perception that that's going to impose a lot of costs on the rest of the economy. It's going to mean a lower standard of living, lower consumption. It's going to be bad for business. And our argument is if you really take the economic case seriously, if you really analyze this seriously, you'll actually conclude that this is going to raise most people's standard of living, and it's actually going to be a positive thing for most business. And the real reason for that is we think we have an economy that for at least 20 years has really suffered from a lack of demand, a lack of spending, and this is going to inject an enormous amount of new public and private spending into the economy.
So can you walk me through the numbers that you crunched and sort of what your takeaway was, how much money would need to be invested and what the result of that would be?
Well, a lot of people talk about some amount on the order of 3 to 5% of GDP over a number of years, many years, potentially 10 or more years, which, you know, potentially sounds like a lot of money. But if you try to then look at what is the shortfall that we've had in demand over the past decade, you know, we've had a probably by the conventional measure 25% shortfall in demand after the Great Recession, an enormous shortfall. So actually, when you look at the scale of spending that we're talking about, it really would just fill in this gap, this lack of demand that we've experienced in the economy in recent decades.
So is this what some politicians or some in the discussion talk about, a Green New Deal? Is this kind of what you're talking
That's
about?
That's right. I mean, the Green New Deal is used in a sort of broader sense to talk about a larger transformation of the economy, and we're just focusing really on the sort of core decarbonization piece. What do you actually have to do to get to net zero carbon emissions in a relatively short period of time? And then how do you pay for that, and what is the macroeconomic implications
of
doing
that? Where are we
that?
Generally net? We're not at a net neutral state right now as a country. Give us a sense of kind of where we are, maybe how far away we are from getting there.
Well, it's a really far-reaching thing. I mean, we have to move, obviously, to universal electric vehicles. We need a true national grid. It's the only way you can make, renewable energy, practical is if you actually have a national grid, because the sun is always shining or the wind is blowing somewhere, but not everywhere. Building retrofits, an enormous amount of carbon emissions are associated with buildings. Agriculture is a huge area. I mean, it's a transformation that extends across the whole economy.
So there's an offset, though, and if you put money into public infrastructure to support, say, wind and solar, for example, that's money's may not go into other areas. Like, what do you do with job retraining, like for coal jobs, or if you're going to stay away from nuclear in some capacity? What do you do economically for that part?
Well, that's a huge part of it. The government, that's why we say that you have to have a public investment-led program. If you just put a price on carbon, if it's a high enough price, maybe you do get off away from coal.
So the government-led program isn't to spur demand for, like, wind energy. It's also to offset the negatives?
That's right. It's both. Okay. You need the government to prime the pump. That's why we have such a successful wind and solar industry in the U.S. today. The majority of new generating capacity is wind and solar. But why? Because you had enough public investment and subsidies to get that started. But at the same time, you also need a big public role to protect and do something for the people who are going to get left behind otherwise.
So what do you think, J.W., are reasonable kind of near-term steps that the U.S. could make, should make?
Well, the grid is a huge one. I think this is the biggest obstacle to really moving towards renewable energies in a big way. I think building retrofits are really low-hanging fruit, and it's one where you need a big public role, because often it's actually profitable to make buildings more energy efficient, but it's hard for small property owners to do that, especially when you have tenants and landowners where the costs are going to maybe go one place and the savings are going to go somewhere else. I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit in that area. I think, some areas, manufacturing and agriculture, are maybe more challenging, and we need more R&D to really figure out how to decarbonize those sectors.
Why do you feel like it needs to come from the public sector, not the private?
I think historically, if you look at big transformations of the economy on this scale, you always have to have a leading public role. You know, markets are great when you're making adjustments at the margin. When you have well-established alternatives and you're going to have a little more of one, a little less of the other, I think markets, we agree, do a good job. But when you're talking about building up a new industry from scratch where you need a lot of coordination, a lot of new infrastructure investment across the economy, it's very hard to do that with markets. markets. And I think historically, you know, you can look at something, an example we like to talk about, the aircraft industry. There basically wasn't really a private aircraft industry before World War II. And the huge expansion in aircraft investment that was led by the public sector, obviously, to meet wartime needs, then really jump-started this whole new industry after the war, something where the risks involved, the uncertainty involved, really would have been an insuperable obstacle to private investment without the government starting the ball rolling there. And I think a lot of decarbonization is going to look like that. Once the industries are there, once you have an established, you know, wind power industry, it can, the private sector can take the lead. But you won't get that transition without a bigger role for government.
J.W. Mason, thank you so much for joining us. J.W. is a fellow at the Roosevelt Institute, also an assistant professor of economics at the John Jay School of SUNY CUNY. Thanks so much, J.W., for joining us.